This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Beyond morels, there are a good deal of wild mushrooms growing all across Michigan. And fall's a great time of year to find them and enjoy them. But you really should be careful. Here to talk us through what to look for when you're out foraging for wild mushrooms and how you might prepare them once you've verified is Zach Schrader. He's director of culinary arts for Lake Superior State University and the director of Les Chenaux Culinary School. That's a farm-to-table operation in Hessel on the Upper Peninsula. Zach Schrader, welcome to Stateside.
Hello.
So what is your favorite mushroom this time of year?
You know, there's a lot. It's really hard to choose from. I like a variety. But, you know, chanterelles are always top of my list, no matter what time of year it is. And right now is a good time to find them. And so we love to use the chanterelles.
Can't go wrong with the classics. Well, yeah. Tell us about ideal weather conditions and habitat for Michigan's wild mushrooms.
Yeah, and so a lot of wild mushrooms can probably be found in any forest, really, in Michigan. The best criteria is generally old growth forests. You want to have trees that have some age to them, as well as a lot of moisture. You want to have a lot of rain. And luckily, in the fall in Michigan, we get a lot of rain, that's for sure.
Yeah. It feels like, just in our part of Southeast, things have been a little bit dry. Are you notice anything overall about what conditions would be like for mushrooms at this point in the fall?
Well, I'm up here in the UP, and it seems over the last 2 weeks, we've had a lot of rain.
Well, good.
Yeah, in fact, it's raining right now. And so we've had plenty of rain. But yeah, you're not going to find a lot of mushrooms if you don't get a lot of rain.
Well, let's talk about a few varieties that people might want to look for that they hadn't heard of before. There was one that I recently learned about that I had never heard of, but it's just got the most amazing name. It is the chicken of the wood. What does it look like and how would we know it if we saw it?
Well, chicken of the woods, it's really easy to find compared to a lot of your other wild mushrooms. It's bright orange on the cap and then it has like little yellowish orange tips to the end of the mushrooms. They generally grow on dead or dying oak trees. And so if you're in an older growth oak forest, they stand out. They're like hunter's orange. So you can't miss them when you're walking through the woods, which is really like a different, unique kind of thing compared to most other mushrooms. You have to have an eye for detail when you're finding them in the woods. With chicken of the woods, they kind of like throw themselves at you.
Well, I always appreciate something that makes it simpler. What can you make with chicken of the woods?
Well, with chicken of the woods, one problem that they do have is some specimens are not as good as the other ones. And so if you find just the right one, you'll notice it'll feel like springy, almost like the texture of meat. Like when you pinch it, it should be spring back and rather than be like rock hard or turn into mush. And so if you find one that has like kind of that, like you could almost feel the moisture in it, how it's rubbery feeling rather than chalky feeling. And so you want to have that like rubbery feel on chicken in the woods in particular, or else, because if it's been on the tree too long and it's been too dry out, it'll get chalky. And nobody wants like a chalk like texture in their mouth.
Got it.
I usually cut like the first 3 inches off the end of the caps. And then I leave the middle kind of for other purposes, which we do a lot of like making broth and things like that, where you're not actually eating the texture of the mushroom. You're just getting the flavor. But that outside part, really, you can use it any way you'd like. We like to kind of sear them and use them in stir fries, or we would make soup with them, various types of applications. Really anything that you could do with chicken, I'm assuming you could probably do with chicken of the woods.
So chanterelles, I mean, obviously this is sort of the holy grail for mushroom hunters in a lot of ways. These are more popular. I mean, they can be found in the grocery store. Is it worth really trying to go out and get them wild?
Well, it's kind of like morels with chanterelles in the fact that everybody has their secret spot. And it seems to be that they grow in particular areas a lot more prevalently than just kind of scattered throughout the woods. And so if you happen upon a chanterelle spot, it should produce for years and years and years. And so my thought is take a walk in the woods. And if you end up finding them, then you can rely on them. But I wouldn't rely on just walking out in the woods somewhere and ending up on a bumper crop of chanterelles.
I read about one called, I think it's called a hericium, that I hadn't heard of before. Can you tell me more about this kind?
Sure. Well, there's three different types of hericiums, which I kind of just lump them all together in my head, and they all look very similar. They're also known as coral mushrooms or bear's tooth or lion's mane. There's a few different names. but they're stark white and they look like coral, and they generally grow off beech trees, dead or dying beech trees. And they are delicious. And what's nice about them is they're large and white, and semi easy to find, not as easy as the chicken of the woods. And when you get some, they're usually in 2 or 3 pound clusters, or 1 to 3 pound clusters, we'll say. And you break those apart, and we like to saute them with any kind of vegetables we want, or you can even bread them and deep fry them. They're delicious that way as well.
I heard you've been doing some good things with something called a honey mushroom. How would I know that if I saw it?
Well, honey mushrooms, also known as stumpers. We call them stumpers or stumpies up here. What's nice about them is they're really easy to find. Come like middle of September and you get a lot of rain, they'll grow in clusters, usually around like a fresh, like a logged area, maybe an area that was logged by a logging company within the last 3 to 5 years. And you'll see these mushrooms growing in clusters. And that's the important part about them is it's multiple stems that go down into one kind of base. And if you find them before the cap opens up too much, they'll be delicious and uniform. What happens is when the cap gets too large and you'll see the cap kind of like splay out, that allows insects in. And so you'll have insects that have kind of like tunneled through the cap of your mushroom and things like that, which makes them less prime than they would be before that cap opens up. But really, you can treat those like a button mushroom that you buy in the grocery store. You can saute them, you can pickle them, you can poach them, you can use them in stocks and sauces and things like that. And really, the sky's the limit. And you could go out in the fall and easily harvest 20 or 30 pounds in one day.
Hey, Zach, how long have you been foraging for mushrooms?
I've been foraging mushrooms, really the main ones, like the chanterelles and the morels and things like that, ever since I was a little kid. In fact, some of my earliest memories were walking around in the woods with my mom, trying to find morels. And she used to take a glass morel that she bought at a trade show or something like that, or an art show. And she'd hide it in the backyard and send my sister and me out there to find it as like a competition. So I was involved in morel picking from as early as I can remember.
Yeah, I guess you got to start them young, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Well, how do you know? I mean, the thing that's always kind of held me back is I've always been a little freaked out that I would pick the wrong one and poison myself. How do you know when you're ready to get out there and really choose mushrooms in a way that's safe and it's not going to put yourself or anybody you're cooking for at risk?
Yeah, that's a great point. Well, you really need to know. You need to completely immerse yourself into the information before you head out there and just start picking anything you find. And the resource that I use is MidwestMycology.org. They usually do a wild mushroom certification course. I think that's kind of on hold with the COVID-19 thing going on here. But they have individual study guides for each mushroom. I study those. And then when I'm in the field, it's natural for a person to try to convince themselves, especially if you spent the entire day not finding mushrooms, that a mushroom is edible. And you should really have it the opposite, where you can't convince yourself otherwise that it's not edible. And so you should spend a good amount of time looking at that specimen, comparing your notes before ever dabbling in taking any guesses. And really the best way is to find somebody that you know, or that you know through people that knows the woods and the mushrooms well, and ask them if they'll take you out once or twice. I think that's the safest way.
Do you have any other tips for folks who are maybe a little new at this? I mean, good mushroom hunters do not give up their best spots very easily. How does one get started in knowing where to go?
Another great research apparatus from MidwestMycology.org is that it supplies the information you need for finding the mushrooms as well. And some of those things are the type of tree that the mushroom is associated with. All mushrooms generally have some either type or types of trees that they're directly associated with. Soil type also plays in that too. For example, chanterelles up here grow in sandy soil. And so, you know, if you're in a sandy soil area, that's likely to find them. Also, I mean, the biggest thing is getting your boots on the ground and head out in the woods. And the first few times that you pick, you might not find anything, but eventually you're going to run into some mushrooms. And then I like to then save them. I keep a GPS log of all the mushrooms that I find, so that
In future years, I can go right back to that same spot that I found them in the past and go from there. And really, it's just about the amount of time put in.
As I mentioned, you're coming to us from Les Chenaux Culinary School, which is in Hessel, which is in the Upper Peninsula. It's not really far from the bridge and Mackinac Island. Will you tell us a little bit about the school and what you're doing up there right now?
Sure. We are a one-year culinary certificate program. We're part of Lake Superior State University. And so if you go to their website, you can find more information about us. But we're very small. One thing we pride ourselves on is the tight-knit family that our students kind of develop over the year. We started in September. We end in September. So that's another thing that we've done is we've made it a one-year program where most of your general culinary schools are 2 years. And we really wanted to get the students in. The hospitality industry is itching for employees right now. And so we're trying to make sure that we get as many students into the workforce and well-trained as possible.
Zach Schrader is Director of Culinary Arts at Lake Superior State University and also runs Les Chenaux Culinary School in Hessel. Zach, thanks so much for talking to us.
Hey, thank you.